Revelation. We're in Revelation chapter 6 tonight, and we have gone through the last four seals. The last time we met, we looked at the judgments, the four seal judgments of war, and looked at the Antichrist and all that that's going to happen at the beginning of the tribulation. And now we're coming to the fifth seal. We see in Revelation chapter 6 and starting in verse 9. Revelation chapter 6 and starting in verse 9 tonight. It says, And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, Lord, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And the white robes were given unto every one of them. And then it was said unto them that they should rest for a little while, for a little season, and the fellow servants also, and their brethren, they should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Father, Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us as we spend a little time in your word, Father, that God, you'd show us some truths, Lord, some things that would help us grow in our relationship with you. Lord, as we think about these terrible events that are about to happen on this earth, that are sure as there is a sunrise, more sure than there's going to be a sunrise tomorrow. Lord, we know these things are going to happen. I pray that you'd help us to purify ourselves as we know these things are coming and help us to share the gospel with those who do not know it. God, guide and direct in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see the prayers of the vengeance, the fifth seal. So we're looking basically now at judgment. Judgment. Nobody likes that word judgment, do they? Especially in this day and age. People do not like the idea of judgment. But we see the first seal, the false peace, which is the Antichrist. We looked at that last time. It looks like it's the Christ. It comes in on a white horse. And then as we talked about the Antichrist, it promises peace. And for a while, the Jews especially will believe that it's peace. And probably most of the world, because it's going to be a charismatic leader, it's going to be a powerful leader. It's going to be someone who has great influence and going to be able to speak, be able to do signs and wonders and do things that many people will think, and especially the Jews will think, this is the Messiah. He's come. Our long-awaited Messiah who they would believe is still to come. Of course, it is false peace. We looked at that. Second seal is war. Third seal is famine. And then the fourth seal is death. We said that this fourth judgment will take out at least one fourth of the population of the world, possibly 1.7 billion people. I can't even imagine that. I mean, that's a staggering number of people that are going to die just in one judgment alone because of famine and pestilence, because of the beasts of the earth and sickness and war. Wow. I had to put this one up here, though. The four horsemen, and then there's going to be another. There's another horseman. It's called misinformation. Boy, have we seen a lot of that this last 18 months, haven't we? Whew. Wow. How many people have died in the last 18 months because of misinformation? How many people die every day because they just... But it's not just the pandemic. It's really just about the Bible. People really don't... We have, right now, more accessibility to the truth, but probably we're the least knowledgeable of the Scriptures. Somebody asked me just last week, is the vaccine the sign of the beast, the mark of the beast? I said no. I reassured that person. Getting the vaccine is the mark of the beast, because they thought... Because they had the vaccine, they were doomed forever. They're going to go to hell. I've taken it and I'm destroyed. I'd rest assured, the vaccine is not the mark of the beast, okay? We'll talk about the marks of the beast. Now, all that is happening in the world and all that's happening right now is getting the world ready for that time. It is preparing us. Everything that's happening, whether you're talking about the pandemic, what's happening politically, it's all coming towards that end. Okay, so we're going to look at specifically what is the mark of the beast a little bit later. So don't be worried about that. But God is loving, merciful, gracious, a savior of sinners. One truth about him that is unpopular today is he's a God of vengeance against those who reject him and salvation in his son. Yes, God is love, and we're so thankful for that. But if you read the Bible, God is also a God of wrath. He's a God of judgment. And we don't like to talk about that facet of God, but it is very true of God. And if there's ever a book, and I've been reading the Old Testament, I've just gone through Isaiah and Jeremiah and Lamentations, and now I'm in the midst of Ezekiel. But you read those books, especially those major prophet books, who basically their whole message is judgment's coming. And nobody wanted to hear it. Israel didn't want to hear it from Isaiah. And the Judah didn't want to hear it from Jeremiah. Nobody wants to hear that your city is going to be destroyed. That you have no hope of going to survive. No one wants to hear that, but it's exactly what happened. And folks, that's exactly what's happening, what's coming to our world. This world that you see and everything in it is going to be destroyed. And that's just the truth. And it's not a pleasant truth, but we know judgment ultimately is coming to this world. It will be destroyed in fervent heat. It will be destroyed. We read through the Bible. The Bible says in Psalm 94, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself, lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Isaiah 34, 1 and 2. Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all the things that come forth in it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. This is the same God. It is the same God. It's the same God that inspired John to write John 3:16. It is the same God. It's not like a different God. It's just a different facet of our Lord that we're not accustomed to hearing about. You say, well, preacher, that's Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Okay, I'll give you New Testament. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6-9, seeing it is a righteous thing that God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus, listen, Lord Jesus shall be revealed with heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Wow. That's powerful. The Lord Jesus, with inflaming fire, are going to take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. Wow. That's what's going to happen to that neighbor across the way from you who does not know Jesus Christ. That's why we talk about sharing the gospel. That's why we urge people to get the word of God out. That's why it's so important than all that we do in visitation and passing out tracts. That's why it's urgent, because there's a coming a judgment. There's coming a judgment. I got to remember to do that and do this at the same time. I'm getting the use of that, okay? We still are commanded to be kind, though. In the midst of all of this, we as Christians are still commanded to be kind. We know that God is a God of judgments, but how are we to act? Sometimes it's easy to get mad at this world and say, just forget all of you. You're going to hell in a handbasket. All of you, you just want to wash your hands of the whole thing. But remember, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We don't have to be like this world. Does it seem like to you in the last 18 months that people have gotten a little nastier? Have you noticed that? When you walk into the store and everybody's looking at you automatically, do you have your mask on? Is it over your nose? Or do you have one at all? You know, it seems like the whole world has gotten a lot more tense, uptight. You cannot almost go anywhere. You feel this tension. You feel awkward. We're still commanded to be kind. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, rather give place in the wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We read in Romans chapter 12. We're going to talk a little bit about that more on this coming Sunday night. I love this little picture. Remember how you used to have little kids and, you know, they would be so kind and generous one to another, you know, and it would almost rebuke you because, you know, you didn't want to be that kind and nice, but your kids were, you know, they're so sweet, you know, they're sharing. They're not always saying, mine, mine, mine. But that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. We still must be kind. The world may act crazy, and we know it's going off the rails, but we still are commanded to be kind one to another. And we're going to look at this fifth seal. The persons, first of all. The persons. In verse 9. It says there in verse 9, we saw had opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and then the testimony which they held. These are martyrs killed during the time of all the judgments, in addition to divine judgment through the false peace, war, famine, disease, dominating the unbelieving world. There will be widespread persecution of believers led by Satan, his demons, and the final Antichrist. There's persecution right now of Christians. I just watched a video of a pastor in, I think it was Canada, Calgary, Canada, because he held services. The police came to his house and took him away. They came to his house with his wife and kids. I think he had about 4 or 5 kids. They came to his house and arrested him and took him away. In Canada. I'm not talking about China. I'm not talking about North Korea. I'm not talking about Cambodia. I'm talking about Canada. Our friends, well, used to be our friends, the North. They came to his house and took him away because he wanted to have church. God forbid a man want to have church and tell people about Jesus and the love of God. He had church, and when he was not supposed to have church, they come and took him away. Well, folks, if there's persecution now, imagine this world run by the Antichrist. How much more persecution is going to be for those who are saved and believe in the gospel during the tribulation? Well, that's that's what Jesus actually said was going to happen in Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. They shall deliver you up and be afflicted and shall kill you and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Jesus prophesied this. He predicted these things are going to happen, and they're happening, and they're going to happen for the name of Jesus Christ, for his name's sake. Therefore, these persecutions of Jesus spoke of will begin in the first half of the tribulation, these 3.5 years, and escalate in the second half after the abomination of desolation. And you may ask, what in the world is the abomination of desolation? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to answer that question. What is that? The abomination of desolation is referred to 3 times in the book, in Daniel's prophecy. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 tells us, and he shall confirm the covenant for many for 1 week. Remember, a week is 7 days. 7 days. In prophecy, it's 7 years. In the midst of 7 years, which we believe the tribulation will be 7 years, in the midst of that, 3.5 years into it, he's talking about, in the midst of the week, he will cause his sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that term that shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, what does all that mean? What does all that mean? Okay, good. A little bit of picture, exactly. This actually happened in the past, and it's going to happen again in the future. This is one of these things that people call double prophecy, something that actually happened in the past. There's a picture of Antiochus Epiphanes, the king of Syria, that captured Jerusalem in 167 BC and desecrated the temple by offering the sacrifice of what type of animal? A pig. The very animals that the Jews, though I'm sure some of them wanted to have it, they couldn't have, they're not supposed to eat, on the altar of the false god Zeus, which was called the abomination of desolation. This is actually something that happened in the past, but it's also going to happen in the future. The future Antichrist will defile the temple in the middle of the tribulation, 3.5 years into the tribulation, by setting up an idol of himself, the one that's supposed to be a Messiah, to the Jews. He's going to set up an idol of himself in the temple in Jerusalem and demand that the world worship him. And at that point, that's when the Jews will recognize that they were wrong. That Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. And this man who's now in the temple is a pretender and a false god. The persecution of believers, the persecution of the believers, which began early in the first half of the tribulation, will intensify dramatically after Antichrist sets himself up as God. At that time, he will make war with the saints, and he will overcome them. So things will be bad the first 3.5 years, but things will intensify. That's why it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. It will be when he finally reveals himself, there will be persecution among Christians like this world has ever known and will ever know. Because he will be ultimately in charge. And there'll be no trying to appease people. There'll be no peace. It'll be all war and destruction at that time. The only defense against the sudden onslaught of persecution, Jesus said, will be immediate flight. That's why we read in Matthew chapter 24, 16. And let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains, lest them when the housetop come not down to take anything of this house, neither let him which is in the field return back to his clothes. It's a time of fleeing, getting away, running, because the Antichrist has come. Destruction, persecution has come. And the Christian must flee from the destruction. So John describes these martyrs he saw underneath the altar as souls because their body resurrection had not taken place. They're the first fruits, the beginning of those who will be saved throughout the tribulation. And we know countless scores of people will be saved. And we'll talk about those 144,000, not Jehovah's Witnesses, but actually who are the 144,000 people. And let me just say, if anybody comes and knocking on your door saying you can be a part of the 144,000, you will find out soon why that is not true. You don't have to worry about the 144,000 because they are not it and neither are you. Okay? You don't have to worry about that. But we'll talk about that later. So John gives two reasons why the martyrs will be slain. First of all, for the word of God, and secondly, for the testament which they have held. And really, throughout the history of the world, isn't that the reason why we've had people who've died for the faith? For the word of God. People love the darkness and they hate the light. When you start, talking to an unsaved neighbor who, very long, either they're gonna love you or they're gonna hate you. You won't have to figure out very long where they're at. It's either duck or pucker, right? Because the unsaved world does not like the gospel. They don't like to hear the truth. When I go in sometimes to Sonny's, there are people who are glad to see me, and there are people that intentionally ignore me. Because they don't want to hear anything about God or Jesus. They go to the restroom. They go to the other side of the store. They don't want to hear me inviting them to church or asking them to come into some type of event. They're just like, you know, roaches when you turn the light on 2 o'clock in the morning. They're gone. They're out of there. And people, when it comes to the word of God, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the truth. And for the testimony which they held. So these people had the word of God and they were sharing the word of God. And for the testimony they had as believers, that's why they were martyred. So we see the persons. We see these persons and their petition in verse 10. The fifth seal is the prayers of the tribulation martyrs for God to enact vengeance on their Christ-rejecting murderers. It says, for they cry with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? They're crying out, Lord, how... We've been slain. We've been mistreated. We've been persecuted. We've been killed. When's vengeance going to come? The Bible says in Luke chapter 18, verse 7 and 8, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's why we say, folks, you don't have to get vengeance. God's going to take care of it. Ultimately, God is always going to take care of his people. It may not be when you want it to be, but it will be when God wants it to be. And trust me, God can dole out judgment that you and I can't even fathom. Because he's the creator of all the universe. If he who is the creator of all universe can dole out judgment, then why do I need about trying to make it happen or figure it out? He'll take care of it. You think to yourself, man, there's wrongs that are going on in our country right now. What's going on in Afghanistan? What's going on in Gainesville? What's going on in Alachua County? Seems crazy. Seems insane. God's going to take care of it. Every wrong will be made right. It will be made right. This word cried out is from the Greek word krazo. It's a strong word that emphasizes the urgent need and denotes strong emotions. How long? And you see throughout the Old Testament, especially in the book of Songs, David crying out in his lament. How long is a well-known cry of suffering Israel reflecting the perplexing question of the righteous as to when their pain will end. And sometimes in life we cry out, how long? You may be going through a difficulty in your life, maybe going through a physical difficulty. You may be going through a marriage difficulty. You may be going through a financial difficulty. And sometimes we cry out to God, how long? How long? I'm reading a book right now about laments. Laments. There's a whole book called Lamentations. It's basically because of the sorrow that happened after Judah or Jerusalem was destroyed. And Jeremiah was lamenting. He's in sadness because his people have been destroyed. His city has been destroyed. His world has changed, and he's crying out. And sometimes as Christians, sometimes it's right for us, not in a sense to complain, but simply ask, Lord, why? Why? Yesterday we heard the news of some friends of ours, folks that Angie and I taught with, and I coached the young man, the couple had been married for a while. They had their first baby, and the baby died. The young girl died. I thought to myself, why, Lord? I don't understand that. This fine Christian couple, both of them been saved for many years. I've known, especially the young man, I've known him for 18 years, 20 years. And you wonder, why? How? I don't understand it. When you see all the wickedness of the world, you think to yourself, why don't those who are doing wicked, but this young couple who seemed to be trying to do it right, and they're expecting their first born daughter, and she had to be 8 or 9 months into the pregnancy. And they lost a child yesterday, and you just sorrow, and you weep, and you, in your soul, cry out, how long? Why, God, why? Time is fast approaching when God will judge his enemies and the Lord Jesus will take his rightful place as the earth's ruler. But since these martyrs are from the first half of the tribulation, the beginning of the birth pangs, that time is still a way off. It was not time yet for judgment. So we see the persons, the petition, and thirdly, the promise. The promise in verse 11. In verse 11, it says, and the white robes were given to every one of them, and it was said unto them, they should rest for a little season, and their fellow servants also, and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. The two elements make up God's response to this martyr saints, a symbolic gift and a spoken word. A symbolic gift and a spoken word. The symbolic gift is the white robe. The white robe. A long robe flowing to the feet. These long, brilliant white robes were a reward of grace, symbolizing God's gift of eternal righteousness, blessedness, dignity, and honor. They symbolize all the glory that the redeemed saints will enjoy in heaven. It's a sign of purity. You know, whiteness, purity. That's what these dear folks will be rewarded with. But not only that, there's a spoken word. It says, name of this should rest for a season, a little while longer. The phrase for a little season indicates that time will not be long delayed. God's vengeance will not begin until the number of the fellow servants and the brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed. There's a time. There's a time when God is going to send his son to call us up in the air. There's a time coming. And there's a time. Those who've been slain during the tribulation, there's a time when there'll be enough people martyred for the faith, and that time, and it will be completed, and then judgment will come. God, everything is going to happen perfectly in his time. In his time. So there's a gift and a spoken word. Out of the dark and evil days, will come thousands, but those who are sealed by their testimony for the word of God and the worship of Jesus Christ with their own blood. Wow. Yes, there's going to be dark days. There's going to be troubling days. There's going to be terrible days. But from those dark days, there's going to be many, many, thousands upon thousands of people who are saved and brought into the truth. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That is a wonderful truth. This last week, we had a little time after supper. I think it was Saturday night. Went down to a restaurant, a Mexican restaurant, had something to eat. And then I took my daughter to see, right across from the university is where my mother's buried. I took her over there to see my mother's grave and put some flowers on it. And, you know, and I knew that my mom would be so happy that my daughter's at Christian College. I knew she'd be happy. And I just can't wait to that day. One day, in God's timing, we'll all be together again. Oh, it's sad. I wish she could be here. I wish she could be here. My sister said, Ma, she'd be so glad to see Alethea. Mitzi's my sister. She'd be so glad to see Alethea in college, in Christian College. And I said, yes, she will someday. Well, it will all work out. Because I know right now, if my mom was alive, she'd just spoil her to death. She would spoil her to death. But in his own time, he took my mom. But there'll be a time when we'll all be back together. And dear friends, God is going to work out in your life. You may wonder, why are things happening the way they do? These dear folks who died, who are martyred for the faith, some of them frustrated, upset, angry, crying out to God. But God is going to take care of everything. And God and his love and his mercy is going to take care of us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to help us. He's going to guide us. He's going to direct us. These righteous souls, vengeance will come. And dear friends, there might be wrongs going on in your life. Things that are not reconciled, things that you wish to make right. And maybe even tonight in your soul of souls, you cry out, how long do I have to endure this pain? How long do I have to endure the struggles of my life? There's coming a day where you won't have to struggle anymore. Whether it be physically, emotionally, or spiritually, there's a day coming where that will all be over. And it could be tonight. It could all be over tonight. Let's look to him who saved our souls. Father, we thank you, God, for that great day. We long for that day. For that day where you call us up. That trumpet is sound and you say, come up hither. Lord, we look forward to that day. Just like these dear souls who were martyred during the tribulation, they look forward to that day where they will get vengeance that only comes from you properly. They will get vengeance on those who were slain, destroyed, their own brothers, their family, their friends. God, you will take care of all those things. And I pray, God, tonight you'd help us, Lord. We moan and groan in this world, Lord, things we can't even, the Spirit, we can't even utter. I pray, God, you'd help us to trust in you, to be faithful to you. As the old Bob Jones Sr. used to say, do right till the stars fall. Help us continue. Maybe tonight you've been discouraged through some difficulty in your own life, maybe in your own family, maybe in your own heart and soul. You've been discouraged. Oh, dear friend, don't be discouraged. He who is faithful and true, who gave his word to these folks, gives his word to you that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's there for you even now, and someday, though you may be in pain and suffering and going through difficulty in so many different ways, he will take care of it, and there will be a day where there'll be perfection. With no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying. The day is coming, we'll wipe all the tears from our eyes. Oh, we long for that day, and the day, may it be the day. With head bowed, eyes closed, maybe someone in this room say, preacher, I have been discouraged. I've been frustrated. I've been going through some difficulty in my own life. I needed encouragement tonight. And would you pray for me that God would continue to encourage my life? Anybody like that today I could pray for? Amen.